Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, the controversy swirling around Wisconsin elections, investigations, allegations, and more. We'll deal with it in the next quarter hour on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson, and welcome. Racine County Sheriff Christopher Schmeling is recommending that five Wisconsin elections commissioners be criminally charged. Schmeling says so-called special voting deputies should have been sent to eight nursing homes last year to help residents who didn't have the mental capacity to vote. The commission says no crimes were committed when poll workers were sent to oversee the voting during the COVID-19 pandemic. Republicans have already called for Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf to resign, but she refuses. Attorney General Josh Call has echoed Governor Evers' response that county officials should file charges if they believe election laws were broken. Call was a guest on today's Upfront television show syndicated around the state, in which he was asked by the host, Adrian Pedersen, if he would represent the five election commissioners if the Racine County District Attorney does decide to charge them.
We have a role playing involved in statewide investigations, the Department of Justice. And so if there were a statewide investigation that we potentially would be involved in, we could play that role. Separately, we do represent state agencies when cases come up and it's appropriate. Here, there would be outside counsel that would represent the Elections Commission if we were to be involved, given our role as an investigative agency.
Upfront's Adrian Pedersen continued on with Attorney General Call in today's edition of the show.
Well, and Sheriff Schmeling is recommending felony charges of misconduct in public office and election fraud and three misdemeanor counts of being party to a crime. Do you think what the commissioners did of not having voting deputies in nursing homes rise to the level of a crime?
I think that what Sheriff Schmeling is suggesting is an abuse of his authority. First, it's important to note that the context in this, in which this has arisen, which is this continued effort to promote the big lie in multiple different investigations that are now going on. What we have here is a good faith decision made by election commissioners to try to make sure that people were able to exercise their right to vote during the pandemic. And that, by the way, is a constitutional right. Sheriff Schmeling hasn't taken that into account in his discussion so far. The idea that you would charge somebody for a crime in these circumstances is really outrageous. And it's not what we expect to see in a democracy. It's reminiscent of the locker up chants that we heard several years ago. Our elected officials who are doing their best to help administer our election system deserve better than this.
Then what do you think the sheriff's motive is here?
Well, you know, I'm concerned that he met with Speaker Voss before he even reached out to our office. But it's telling to see the difference between what he's suggested and what Speaker Voss has done. He's proposing that felony charges be brought, and yet Speaker Voss and Senate Majority LeMahieu haven't even asked for those two commissioners to step down who they appointed, who voted for this policy. So there's a big disconnect here. Clearly, this is an effort to attract publicity by the sheriff. You wouldn't normally accuse people of having committed crimes at the end of an investigation without announcing a charging decision. But here, obviously, it's fanning the flames of the big lie.
Do you think that the Racine County DA will decide to go ahead with charges?
That's her decision. And, you know, I don't know exactly what information is being presented to her. But based on what we've seen made publicly available, so be a stunning act to charge state appointees who are acting in good faith. You know, in a democracy, we have political disagreements, but we don't resolve them with criminal charges. That's not how our system works, and it's not how our system should work. So we'll see how this plays out, but, you know, it would certainly be pretty shocking to see charges brought.
So the sheriff's not recommending charges against the staff at the nursing home, but considering the sheriff says that one person voted despite a court order declaring that person incompetent to vote, should someone at the nursing home be charged for that?
That's where you would potentially expect to see charges here. If there was fraud that somebody committed, for example, if somebody knew that a voter was ineligible to vote and they still helped them cast a ballot, that would be a problem. That's a crime, and that's something that where there should be charges brought. My understanding, though, is that there hasn't been any suggestion from the sheriff's office that they are seeking to bring charges there. So what we have so far statewide is a lengthy investigation that resulted in no charges. and no other evidence anywhere else in the state. And yet we've heard these grand pronouncements from the sheriff about how this calls the integrity of the election into question. That's just not the case.
On the same matter of the election controversy in Racine, Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss made these comments on last week's Upfront television show.
It's why I'm so disappointed that the Attorney General is kind of turning a blind eye on this. We don't have a clue how many nursing homes around the state had this exact same problem, which is why the only entity that can do a statewide investigation with the potential to prosecute would be the Attorney General.
So on today's Upfront broadcast, host Adrian Pederson referred to those comments from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican, asking Democratic Attorney General Josh Call.
So you're saying that there's no indication of fraud at nursing homes across the state, but I think it's a fair question to ask, how do you know? Why not do an investigation?
Well, first, we have law enforcement and DAs around the state who take voter fraud very seriously. Prior to the election, we put out guidance to those agencies. And if they have any evidence of voter fraud, I fully expect them to investigate that and ultimately potentially to prosecute it. But Speaker Voss is, as Dean Knutson indicated, under a lot of pressure here. He met with Donald Trump on an airplane, and right after that, the Gableman investigation expanded significantly. Our office doesn't conduct investigations, though, based on what politicians want to have happen or based on the politics of the issue. We do it based on the facts and the law. And here the facts are that there's only one place where there have been allegations, and even that investigation didn't lead to charges. And so there's not a basis here to divert resources from things like homicide investigations or sexual assault investigations to investigating what's been presented so far. If there's real concerns about election fraud that are credible, we take those seriously and would investigate them. But that's not where we are yet.
Well, and Sheriff Schmeling basically said that they brought this to you and you didn't really give it the time of day.
Well, we met with his office. Actually, there were two meetings, and we followed up. We told them that there were some interviews that needed to be conducted as part of their investigation into Racine County. We then didn't hear from them again for months until this big dramatic press conference. And, you know, there are serious concerns here that this is being pursued for political ends. Again, it's very unusual to have a press conference alleging that people committed crimes, but without having a charging decision announced. So if there is credible evidence of fraud, we are happy to work with DA's offices and investigators. But we don't have the kind of evidence here that would justify a statewide investigation.
And I do want to ask you about this crime package, because last Monday you introduced a $115 million crime package. Since then, I'm interested kind of where you think this will go, because you've tried for things like universal background checks and the red flag law before, but Republicans wouldn't go for it. So realistically, what comes out of this?
Well, first, it's critical that our legislature takes action to address public safety. I joined with Governor Evers when he announced a $20 million grant to victim services programs, as well as $25 million for violence prevention efforts. And we're calling on the legislature to build on those efforts. We've proposed a $115 million investment in public safety. That would include funds for things like community police officers, officer recruitment and retention, for violence prevention programs, treatment and diversion programs, and other programs. Seeing the legislature take some action, we are happy to work with legislators on this, but we need to get resources to communities that have been disinvested in and underinvested in for years so that we can start building community trust. We can start holding more criminals accountable. We can do more to address substance use disorder and mental health challenges, and so that we can continue moving forward by making our communities safer.
On the same matter of the election controversy in Racine and nursing home, days after she said she wouldn't resign, more accusations have been aimed at the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Republican State Representative Janelle Branchen led one of the investigations into the 2020 presidential election in Wisconsin. Branchen says Megan Wolf told lawmakers back in August that the commission had conducted audits to weed out felons and dead people who shouldn't be on the voter rolls. Branchen says she's found out the audits were incomplete or were never finished. She says Wolf either intentionally misled lawmakers or is incompetent. Also from today's program, Adrian Pederson, referring to a Marquette University Law School poll that came out on Wednesday. It was done last weekend. It found dropping approval ratings for Democratic Governor Tony Evers and Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Evers down from 50 to 45%. Johnson's favorable rating steady at 36%. Meanwhile, she also went on to make this particular point in the broadcast.
Despite several election investigations, audits, and reviews in Wisconsin, a majority of voters have confidence in elections. That's according to the Marquette Law School poll, which asked about elections in a poll it took last weekend. 65% of the respondents said they are very confident or somewhat confident in state elections. 31% said they are not too confident or not at all confident in elections.
Pedersen asked if that number from the Marquette poll surprised Barry Burden, a UW-Madison a political science professor, also the founding director of the Elections Research Center.
It didn't. It's very much in line with what we're seeing around the country. Relatively high levels of confidence in the 2020 election, but much higher among Democrats and independents, and still a lot of skepticism among Republicans.
And in terms of all these election investigations going on in Wisconsin right now, does that have an impact on voter confidence? What are you seeing?
I think it does have an impact, and it's the opposite impact that the proponents of the reviews say will happen. By continuing to raise questions and suspicions and keeping the kind of uncertainties in the air longer, I think it does nothing to boost the confidence of voters. What could be done to boost the confidence of voters is to tell voters that the election was well run. Not perfect, not ideal. It was a very difficult circumstances during the pandemic. But in Wisconsin, we had high levels of voter turnout, a lot of satisfaction from voters. If you ask them what their experience was like, it's very positive. I released a report this summer that was based on a survey of the clerks around the state who actually administer the elections. They had lots of positive things to say, really no significant concerns about fraud or failure to follow the law or the other things that are being investigated. So, unfortunately, I think the investigations probably continue to keep levels of confidence and trust lower among Republican voters in particular.
And speaking of that, I know people like candidate for Governor Rebecca Clayfish told me that she's concerned that Republicans won't vote because they don't trust that their vote will count. Do you think that will happen? Will these people who don't trust the election system not show up?
I don't know. We have mixed evidence on that from other states. In the two runoff elections that happened in Georgia in January for the two Senate seats there, there is some evidence that Republican voters who turned out back in November did not come back to the polls in the same way in January, in part because of allegations from Donald Trump and others that there was fraud or there are reasons to be not trusting of the system. So there it may have hurt the GOP. But in the elections just this week in Virginia and New Jersey, Republicans did really well, winning the governor's race in Virginia in a state that's trended blue. And that's despite the fact that in exit polls, voters for the Republican candidate, Glenn Youngkin, said they were not at all confident about the ability of the election to, you know, validate what they had wanted it to be. So.
And finally, regarding Wisconsin elections, new legislative and congressional district maps are ready for a vote in the full Wisconsin Senate. The Republican maps were approved in a partisan vote this week in a Senate committee. Democratic Senator Kelda Royce of Madison voted no and said the maps before us are based upon the worst gerrymander in the nation by many accounts. Governor Evers took this issue up in his weekly radio address as well.
This week, our state's nonpartisan redistricting commission, the People Maps Commission, presented their final fair maps to the legislature and me for consideration. In 2020, when I signed an executive order creating the People Maps Commission, I said it was time to look to the people of our state, not high-paid consultants or lawyers or elected officials, to draw our electoral maps for the next decade.
Governor Evers says the maps were finalized following a year-long process that included multiple rounds of opportunities for public input that resulted in nearly 2,000 submissions, including from Wisconsinites representing 68 of Wisconsin's 72 counties and 321 municipalities. And in the end,
the maps prepared by Republicans a decade ago have been called some of the most gerrymandered maps in the country. And a few weeks ago, they introduced a new set of gerrymandered maps modeled after the same gerrymandered maps we've had for 10 years so that they can preserve their undemocratic majorities in the legislature while increasing their chances of disproportionately winning six of Wisconsin's eight congressional districts.
Governor Evers devoted his weekly radio address to this topic, issuing this ultimatum.
Here's the bottom line. If the Republican maps come to me as they are currently drafted, I'll veto them. It's just as simple as that.
Governor Evers saying he wants, and Wisconsinites want, fair maps, and he says they want nonpartisan redistricting. For a long time, people have suspected this issue of redistricting and the gerrymandered maps is headed to the courts, and that would appear to be the case. That does it for this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, dealing with our election controversy, the investigations, the allegations, the redistricting, and more. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Mark Halverson.